Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yata gunam stuprakrate yugapat kramasokisa
vabhati burashastveka
kurvan karmani janmali.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. Whether he alone acts with the modes of material nature or simultaneously expands in many forms or expands consecutively to direct the modes of nature.
Om Jnanati Manandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinoda.
So, this chapter is entitled The Process of Creation, not the Origin of Creation. And the process of creation is very, very inconceivable process. Now, the Supreme Lord remains distinct, but expands everywhere. Mayata tambidam sarva jagat avyakta murtina. He expands by his inconceivable potency. So, just a little bit review again to get us up here in the chapter. That Sukadeva goes, Suta Goswami is explaining at the beginning of this chapter, Maharaj Prickett's reaction, to the instructions of Sukadeva Goswami. And we saw his very, very chaste reactions to the instructions to focus the mind on Krishna and become purified. And he followed it exactly. He heard, he focused his mind and his faith and detachment increased. His faith means faith, faith means bhakti. In our process, shraddha and bhakti, rati, they all mean the same thing. Because what is our shraddha? Our shraddha is bhakti. And what is bhakti? Bhakti is the deep conception in the heart that I should give Krishna pleasure, that I should serve Krishna. That's bhakti. And it's also the attraction. It's the faith. Prabhupada said trust means, faith means to have trust in something sublime. It means to have trust that this is really the right thing to do, that this is really our dharma, this is really our duty, this is the correct thing to serve Krishna. And it's not only the trust, the faith in something sublime, it's also the experience that this is good. So as the shraddha or faith increases, what does it mean? It means that we have more faith in the goal of serving Krishna and we have more attraction for that process. And it thickens and deepens. And this is the this is the whole adau, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangha, vajana. These are just levels of faith. First, your faith is such that you think it's good. You have an appreciation. When faith is more, you associate. When faith is more, you practice. When faith is more, you give up things that are anarthas. When faith is more, You start to become fixed. You do it all the time. When faith is more, you develop an attraction. When faith is more, you develop an addiction. And then by practicing at that level of addiction, then Krishna sees that this person wants to be my servant, and he injects through his devotee bhava into the heart. And then what, then there's bhava and prema. What's prema? Prema is when that conception and that attraction to giving Krishna pleasure is so deep that there is nothing else in the consciousness but that. The state of madness, at least in relationship to anything else. So we can see how by the speeches of Sukadeva Goswami, the association of a devotee, and he begins to explain the Bhagavatam, that, you know, the faith was instilled. What is that? Mukunde, Matir, Sati, unflinching faith in Krishna, that we should serve him. And we can see the level of Maharaj Prickett's faith, the result of hearing. He focused his consciousness faithfully. He gave up everything else, had no other endeavor in his life. He took karma, sannyas. He gave up any other activity. He gave up any activity that had to do with the Dehatma Buddhi, the concept that I am the body. Anything. Marriage, family, anything. Practices. And those verses, bathing, prayer, anything. He did, but he was not, he didn't have to do anything for his, he was so powerful. And then he began to inquire. And we saw what he inquired about first is what is Prabhupada says in a later purport someplace, and he wanted to establish the philosophical basis of Krishna consciousness. You know, establish, have faith in it, you know, get that faith in Krishna further by understanding Krishna's position and our position. We're his servants and he's great. He's God, and understanding how he expands in the material world. So Maharaj Prickett began to ask Sukadeva Goswami these questions for the benefit of everyone, showing the process of becoming self-realized. And I also mentioned, now studying these sections more deeply and studying the Bhagavatam from the beginning more deeply, my own appreciation of this systematic process. You know, how it's rooting out the misconceptions, rooting out the material desires, strengthening our Krishna consciousness, and giving us qualification to enter into Krishna's pastimes. This is the process. And this is what Prabhupada wanted us to do. My only regret is that I'm beginning this march at such an advanced age where these young men are beginning when they're early, when they're young. How fortunate. You know, they can begin the march now. This is so. So he began to describe the process of creation and how it's inconceivable. Even great endeavors by many learned scholars have proved insufficient for understanding them. It's so inconceivable, the Supreme Lord, how he expands the world, maintains the world, winds up the world, creates these phenomena. It's inconceivable, even to the great demigods. And yet in this verse, he's continuing to explain this. This is the basis of Krishna consciousness. Ekaha, the one Supreme Lord, Kramasa, gradually expanding, Burisha, in many forms, Vibharti, maintaining the world, Kurvan, Karmani, and acting in Janmadi, by his incarnations, in relationship to the modes of the material world. How inconceivable that Ekaha, that one person, that's Krishna. And this reminds me, James, if you remember when we studied the very first verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Jadmadya Syayataha, and the essence was, is that Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that Krishna is God, Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. But Vasudev, Vasu also means residing. So Vasudev means one who's residing everywhere. I actually checked this also with Gopi Pranadana and Kushikrata, who live in Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada says a very interesting thing. He says, obeisances to you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, the all-pervading personality of Godhead. But all it says is Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. So when we're studying the verse, we understood the essence of the verse is this Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, that Krishna is the Vastu, he's the substance. Just like there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we're studying. It described the Pancha Tattva. But then in how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Eka Vastu, he's the one substance who expands in these many ways. So that's actually the essence of our Krishna conscious philosophy, that Krishna is everything. He's the substance of everything. And only in illusion do we see something different from him. Of course, it's simultaneously one and different. So this word, we said Vasudev, but Prabhupada said it's also all-pervading personality, because Vasu, for instance, the Vasus are the demigods that are pervading everywhere. So the Vasudev, he's the God that resides everywhere. But yet, he's localized. He's in one place. He's the son of Vasudev. So this is so inconceivable. And we have to understand Krishna's inconceivable potency to appreciate Krishna's pastime. Otherwise, we will think he's like us. So Bhurijan Prabhu also, a very brilliant analysis of the Bhagavatam he's doing. And I saw him once just give a summary of the whole third canto in 1 hour. It was very amazing. And you know, he's very perceptive intelligence. It's like super, like when he thinks, it's so deep, so many things are going on. And he's so penetrating. All this Bhagavad Gita overview comes from him. The Bhagavatam overview comes from him. Very penetrating intelligence. And he was discussing the significance of the first incarnation being described in the Bhagavatam as Varaha. Because if you can understand the transcendence of God's form in terms of a boar, how that's connected with ultimate, and how it's even more difficult, practically speaking, to understand that Krishna is just a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, stealing butter, dancing with the girls. That's even more inconceivable. So it's all, again, it's preparing the consciousness. It's fixing up our conceptions. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhavamaha divagni nirvapanam. Cheto darpanam. This word cheto means, cheto means the consciousness. But our pure consciousness has been changed. And therefore we have what's called a chitta vritti. James was also there with me when I have a very good friend that's now a professor in Harvard. He used to teach actually in the Mayapur Gurukul here, Sanskrit. And he teaches in Harvard, one course he teaches is Krishna. One course he teaches is commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. And he's a very nice Vaishnav. So he went there, and at that time Prabhupada's disciple, my godbrother Pradyumna, was visiting. He's so brilliant. I just asked him this one word, what does chitta vritti mean? And from that one word, he was just expanding in all to the commentaries, purports, Patanjali sutras. But ultimately came down to this chitta vritti is, vritti means transformations of the chitta or the cheta or the consciousness. So chitta vritti is your psyche. It's how the consciousness has become transformed. And in Patanjali Sutras, which he was quoting, he was describing the different categories on how the consciousness becomes transformed. Everyone has a psyche, a particular way that he views the world and perceives the world and gets knowledge and imagines things. And so he was quoting this. He went, Chaito Dharpana Marjana, blah, blah, blah. This, our whole process is to purify and clean the consciousness, Chaito Dharpana Marjana, of the vrittis, of the transformations, of the prejudices, of the irrationalities that prevents us from seeing the truth of the tattva. Even in an ordinary sense, when someone has, his psyche is formed in a certain way, that he has prejudices. In the Christianity, they call them passions. Prejudicial ways of viewing the world. According to their consciousness, I'm the controller, I'm the protector of everybody, everyone needs, whatever it is. I'm strong. I'm special. I'm right. Different ways. Prejudices and people have to be purified of that. So Chaito Dharpana Marjana. So all, we have so many misconceptions. Even if we're so-called first if you get to the platform of psychological sanity, which is very difficult for someone born in Kali Yuga, you know, then even we get to that, then what to speak of actually perceiving the world in the proper way. So understanding these things are very, very difficult, how this Ekaha, this one God, is expanding everywhere within the world and his incarnations and through the modes and what the connection is. And so, you know, it's so difficult. So Maharaj Prickett he's still asking this of his guru, even though it's inconceivable.
Kitsittam etame bravatu bhagavan yata shabde brahmani nishnata parasmincha bhavan kalo.
Kindly clear up these doubtful inquiries, because you're not only vastly learned in Vedic literature and self-realized in transcendence, but also a great devotee of the Lord, and are therefore as good as the personality of Godhead. So even though it's inconceivable, he says, Brivittu, just clear up.
Vichikitsatam,
my doubtful inquiries. By Bhavan, your good self. Why nishtata? Because why? You are fully realized. Shabde Brahmani. And you were vastly learned in the Vedic literatures. And Bhagavan, you are as good as the personality of Godhead, because you were a great devotee. So you're not only fully realized, you're not only learned in the Shastras, but you're a great devotee of the Lord. So please, clear this up. The Prabhupada, you know, explains again the same point in the purport in Brahma Samhita. The supreme, although one without a second, is infallibly expanded by innumerable forms, non-different from one another. And although he's the original person, he's ever young with permanent youthful energy. Clear this up. He is very difficult to know simply by learning the transcendental science, but he's very easy to know by the pure devotee. So Prabhupada quotes from Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Dulabham Adulabham Atma Bhakto. And then Prabhupada's describing the expansions like one lamp to another. It's so inconceivable how this is happening. And therefore the process is, Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, you surpass the stage of knowledge and you're engaged in devotional service. Then you can know. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. What is it? Yavanyas chasma tatpataha. That this tatpataha is known, can only be known. This tatpataha can only be known by bhakti. It can only be known by bhakti. Now Prabhupada explains further. You can only know by the strength of devotional service. So Maharaj Prickett admitted in the previous verse that the Lord is inconceivable even for the greatest learned scholars. Why then should he again request Sukadeva Goswami to clarify his insufficient knowledge about the Lord? The reason is clear. He said it's inconceivable for the learned scholars. That was the previous verse. So why should he again request him to clarify his knowledge? And the reason is clear. Not only was Sukadeva Goswami vastly learned in the Vedic literatures, but he was also a great self-realized soul and a powerful devotee of the Lord. So a devotee becomes empowered. And Prabhupada explains how he can do even more than the Lord, and he described Hanuman. Ramachandra attempted to build a bridge, Prabhupada said, but Hanuman jumped over the ocean. And when Durvasa Muni came to him, Vishnu said, no, you have to go to Ambarish. So this is the conclusion, that you have to approach a spiritual master who is well-versed in Vedic literatures, but also a great devotee with factual realization of the Lord and his different energies. Without the help of such a devotee spiritual master, one cannot make progress in the transcendental science of the Lord. And then again, and that devotee does not only speak in the matter of the internal potencies, but also explains this, how he associates with the external potencies. The Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That's offers his counsel to interested Vaishnavas. They should not only be interested in the Lord's activities like the Rasleela and the internal activities, but also interested in the features of the Purusha avatars in connection with Srishti Tattva, creational functions, and this is the example of Maharaj Prakriti and Sukadeva Goswami.
Suta uvacha ityupamantrito ragya kunanu katane hare rishikesha manusmitya pativaktum pachakrame.
Suta Goswami said, when Sukadeva Goswami was thus requested by the king to describe the creative energy of the personality of Godhead, he then systematically remembered the master of the senses, Sri Krishna, and to reply properly, he spoke thus. So Suta Goswami is describing this. Now, Maharaj Prakriti had asked him these questions, and what was his reaction when he was asked to describe this creative energy? So what was his reaction? It said, Prachakrame, there were preliminaries. He just didn't speak. Prachakrame, there were preliminaries. And what was the first preliminary? Anusmitya. He was properly remembering Rishikesham, the master of the senses. In other words, he didn't think that independently he can speak. He didn't think independently he can speak. He realized that the senses belong to Krishna, and speaking has to do with the senses. So if you want to speak properly about a particular subject, then you have to get Krishna's mercy. So rather than thinking, oh yes, I know, I will speak, he properly responded by remembering. This is the system. Purport, the devotees of the Lord, while delivering speeches and describing the transcendental attributes of the Lord, do not think that they can do anything independently. They think they can speak only what they are induced to speak by the Supreme Lord, the master of the senses. The senses of the individual being are not his own. The devotee knows that such senses belong to the Supreme Lord and that they can be properly used when they are employed for the service of the Lord. And Prabhupada quotes 15:15. You see how Prabhupada uses Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hiti sani vishto matashmitya gyanam aponancha. Krishna is in the heart, and from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So no one is free to act freely and independently, and as such, one should always seek the the permission of the Lord to act or to eat or to speak. And by the blessings of the Lord, everything done by a devotee is beyond the principle of the four defects of the conditioned soul. It's beyond your capabilities. It's beyond your capabilities. Therefore, Bhagavatam is not a material thing, not a material process. I remember that this one distinguished professor in Indology once came to my Bhagavad Gita class in Vrindavan, the overview. Very humble man. He had met Prabhupada in the 60s when he was in Vrindavan. And I saw too, he came up to me and he said, oh, this is very new. I haven't heard this way. Even though they're scholars, they can't understand the way that devotees do. Now, now we'll see what will happen. Now Shukadeva Goswami will begin to reply. And his reply is very interesting because he won't reply immediately, but he'll give 12 or 14 verses where he glorifies the Supreme Lord and the Lord's relationship with his devotees. Because that's the way to get this inconceivable knowledge, by serving Krishna and his reciprocation to you in terms of transcendental knowledge. And that's one of the main verses in the Bhagavad Gita, the Chatur Shloki. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddhi yogam tvam yena mam upayantite. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. The one who worships me with faith and devotion, didami buddhi yogam tvam, I give him that buddhi. I give him that understanding by which he can come to me. So, therefore he answers, Nama parasmai purushasya bhuyase sarud bhavastana naroda lilaya krihita shakti titayaya dehanam antar bhavayanu palakshavartmane. Sukadeva Goswami says, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is a complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. And therefore, as Prabhupada says in the purport, therefore, Bhakti Yoga is the only process which one can be competent to know him. Because he cannot be conceived by our material logic. Material logic means it's based on certain hypotheses. What is the hypothesis? It's what we observe here in this world. And therefore, something is logical based on what we observe in this world. You know, we hold something, it falls down because we've experienced that everything in this world is under gravity. And therefore, we can make that inference that if we drop something, it will fall. So how will you judge Krishna, who created those laws, by what you've conceived and understood in this world? How will you understand Krishna? Can you apply that law to understanding Krishna? So how will you understand Krishna? By your mind and senses. So, this is nice. So he offers obeisances. Parasmai, the Supreme Purushaya, the Supreme Personality. Sadudbhava, who creates the world. Stana, maintains it. Narodha, and winds it up. And accepts tridaya, the three modes, and tadbhavaya, he's residing within everything. He's creating everything and he's residing within everything. The Isha Upanishad, in the fourth verse says, tadajati, tadnaijati, tadure, tadvantike, tadantarasya sarvasya. He walks, he doesn't walk. He's near, he's here, he's inside, he's outside. Hey, inconceivable. So let me offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord, who enters into he's residing within the body of everyone. And this is connected. How the Supreme Lord accepts the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the world by three predominating deities. Vishnu, he enters into every body created. As Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he enters into every universe. As Shiradakshay Vishnu, he enters into the body of every living being. But yet, he is the complete whole. He's who you say, he's the complete whole. So this is very much like the Isha Upanishads, the invocation. Om Purnam Adah Purnam Idam Purnat. It's his inconceivable potency. And the Isha Upanishads, it describes the first verse, the Supreme Lord's inconceivable potency. Without Rupa Goswami says, without accepting the Lord's inconceivable potency, you cannot understand him. That's logic. Logic is that the Supreme Lord's potency is inconceivable. He can do whatever he wants. And therefore, he can be contradictory to the modes of material nature and the laws of nature, because he's beyond those laws. Without understanding that basic fact, you cannot understand the Supreme Lord. It's very interesting how different scriptures parallel each other, because it's the same philosophical thought. So he begins, I offer respectful obeisances to you, who have inconceivable potency. And therefore, the word is anupalaksha vartmani. And therefore, you are the Lord of the inconceivable way. And therefore, Prabhupada said, that means bhakti yoga. Because bhakti yoga is not an empiric process. Like jnana yoga and Astanga yoga, where you try to mechanically understand and perceive the absolute truth. Bhakti yoga is descending process by mercy. So this is the word that's used. Anupalaksha Vartmani, the Lord of Inconceivable Way, or Bhakti Yoga. Puyo Namasad Vijanach. Puyo Namasad Vijanachide Satam. Asambhavaya Kila Sattva Murtaye. Pumsam Puna Paramahamsya Asrame. Yavastitanam. Anu Vigyada Shushe. I again offer my respectful obeisances unto the form of complete existence and transcendence, who is the liberator of the pious devotees from all distresses and the destroyer of the further advances in atheistic temperament of the non-devotee demons. For the transcendentalist who is situated in the topmost spiritual perfection, he grants their specific destination. So this is a description of Krishna, and he's just glorifying Krishna. This is the process. He wants to speak about Krishna. He has to serve Krishna. He has to glorify Krishna. And then Krishna reciprocates. That's bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means that Krishna is a person. A person means that he reciprocates in relationship. Our relationship with Krishna is that we are his servant. And the process of bhakti yoga is that by serving him, he obviously responds. And how does he respond? He responds by giving us knowledge, by giving us realization, by giving us understanding. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this is called the most confidential knowledge. And what is the most confidential knowledge? That Krishna is a person who reciprocates the devotion in service of his devotees. The most confidential knowledge begins with patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta priyasate. That if you're a devotee, even if you do a little something in love, he reciprocates. He reciprocates. Samaham sarvabhuteshu name bhakta name dveshtastanapriya. Even though as God, as the super soul, he's equal to everyone, he favors his devotees. This is bhakti. When you serve him, he reciprocates. This is not a defect in his personality, but this is actually the opulence of personality. If you're a person and someone serves you and you don't give him special attention and care, then you're impersonal. It's a defect. No one's going to criticize you for giving care to someone who takes shelter. Does anyone criticize a mother when their child is just completely dependent and the mother is always attentive and careful? Do they say, why aren't you looking at everyone equally? They say, no, she's a good mother because she's a person and she has a relationship with another person who's her child, and therefore she gives care. And therefore the verse came, apichet sidaracharo, bhajate mama nanyava, sadureva samantavya, Krishna Krishna. Even if that person is bhajate mama nanyava, if he's trying to serve me, then even if he's sinful, I say he's a saint. I reciprocate with him. Kontiya pratijana hiname. Tell everyone. I declare it. He'll never perish because I am going to care for him. I'm going to be personal with him. I'm going to reciprocate with him. And it's not a defect. It's my glory. That's the most confidential knowledge. So here we'll see. This is how Shukadeva Goswami wants to answer the question. I'm going to serve Krishna. I'm going to glorify Krishna. And by serving and glorifying Krishna, then if he wants, he will empower me to speak. But myself, I have no qualification. So this is the Abhideya Tattva. This is the truth of how we practice devotional service and how we speak. So here it says, Akila. He is complete. Complete. Akila means complete, but Akila means not inferior. Akila means inferior. Just like the same word came up when Vyasadeva was thinking about when he compiled the Vedas and that it was not proper. It wasn't. He said, Akila, Akilanam Darshanam. That my philosophy was Akilanam. It was inferior philosophy because it didn't directly glorify Krishna. So this word Akila means, it's, Prabhupada says, Akila means complete or that which is not Kila or inferior. So he's glorifying Krishna who is, Krishna who is complete. He's not inferior. In other words, Krishna who is God, who is the Vastu, who is the substance of everything. He's this is Krishna. And Murtaye, he's complete, but he has a personality. He has a form. He's a transcendental form. Although he's complete, he's not impersonal. Actually, I looked at these words and they're all connected. And then he's the liberator of the pious devotees. Why? Because when the devotees are aware of this, that he's a Kilan and he's complete, he's perfect, and he's not, and he's a person, they render him service. And therefore, the Lord reciprocates by his causeless mercy and delivers them from distress. So therefore, he's the liberator of the pious devotees from all distress. And the destroyer of the further advancements in atheistic temperament of the non-devotee demons. So the impious, this is actually in the second canto, in the end, it describes the 10 subject matters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it describes stanam, or the right situation, sthir Vaikuntha Vijayo. The right situation is that Krishna is superior, Vaikuntha Vijayo. He's the conqueror of Vaikuntha. And then it says, one who, and what is poshanam, or protection? And one who realizes and takes shelter of him gets protected. That's one of the subjects, poshanam. And then there's another subject matter, utaya. And what is utaya? Those who don't do that, they become involved in utaya, fruit of activity. The same thing. That this is Krishna. If you take shelter, you're protected. And if you don't, you get purified. But that's also his protection. And Prabhupada describes that. Impious and non-devotees are against the principles of the Vedas. And such persons are always hampered from making advancement in nefarious activities. And Krishna kills the demons.
And then,
then for the highest stage, when you come to the highest stage of spiritual values, which is Paramahamsa, Prabhupada discusses that, then he awards your destination. He grants your specific destination. And it's funny, the acharyas, they say different things. So Jiva Goswami says that Paramahamsa is one who's directly accepted bhakti yoga. And he achieves the transcendental service of the Lord. Kunti Dev also says that you've come for the Paramahamsa. Vishwanath says there are two classes of Paramahamsas, the Brahmanandis, the impersonalists, and the Premanandis, devotees, and both are awarded their destination. Because both have nothing to do with the Kila or the inferior. They both have to do with the Akila, the superior. But because of their different objectives, the impersonalists merge and the devotees attain Krishna's planet. So Paramahamsa means one who is exclusively accepting the Akila, the complete, the energy of the Lord, the substance. The only difference is that the impersonalists don't understand that substance is ultimately coming from Krishna.
Namo namaste Srishabhavya Satvatam Vidura Kashtaya Mahuku Yoginam Narasta Samyati Sayena Radasa Swadamani Brahmani Ramsyate Nama.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto he who is the associate of the members of the Yadu dynasty, and it was always a problem for the non-devotees. He is the supreme enjoyer of both the material and spiritual worlds, yet he enjoys his own abode in the spiritual sky. There is no one equal to him because his transcendental opulence is immeasurable. So, again, if you look at the words, it says, namo namaste, and then again, nama. Again and again and again, I offer, but this is the process. Again and again, I offer obeisances. And the same concept is there. For the devotees, they're near to Krishna because he becomes their personal associate. They're so close. Krishna is standing there right before them. And for those who are the non-devotees, it says there's a problem. And what's the problem? Vidura, kashtaya. Vidura means far away from kashtaya, those who are mundane. He's far away. I thought it's interesting that this word vidura means far away, because vidura went on pilgrimage. Di means very, and du means, dur means like, how far is it? Kitna dur, how far is your place? So vidura is very far away. So very far away for one who is mundane, for the ku yoginam. Ku means bad, yogis, for the bad yogis. One who don't want link for Krishna. He's very, very far away. And for one who wants link, he's very there, close. So the process to understand Krishna, present Krishna, speak it, is you have to glorify him. You have to become his devotee. And then Prabhupada discussed, he's constant companion. He becomes a family member. He becomes an associate. He's the associate of members of a family. But if you're mundane, then the mundaners are very far, far away from him. The Lord and his residential remain a myth or mystery. But for the devotees, the Lord will always be available as an associate. The devotees are concerned more with his personal form than that which is emanating from him. And then it also says that he enjoys in his own abode. And then you realize that. you can realize the Lord's Dham, his personal abode, where he resides. And if not, if you're materialistic or impersonalist, then that's covered by his effulgence. It becomes very difficult to even. Therefore, Prabhupada quotes from the Isha Upanishads, Haranmayena Patrena Satyasya Piyatam Mukham Tatvam Pushana Pavranu Satya Dharmaya. You are covered. And so a devotee, he wants Krishna to reveal himself. Take off the veil of the Brahmajyoti. Take off the veil of ignorance and reveal. Please reveal to me. Okay, next verse.
Yad kirtanam yat smaranam yad ikshanam yad vandanam yat shravanam yad ahanam makasya sadyo vidanoti kalmasham tasmai subhadra shravase namo nama.
Actually, the next two verses, I offer obeisances for one who is known as auspicious, which is Krishna. Subhadra. Bhadra means auspicious. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. So there can be a bhadra, inauspicious, or subhadra. Very auspicious. I offer obeisances again and again and again to one who is auspicious. And let me offer obeisances to him. Krishna. About whom he's so auspicious that by kirtanam, by glorifying him, by smaranam, by remembering him, by ikshanam, by having his audience, by vandanam, by prayers, by shravanam, by hearing about him, by haranam, by worshipping about him, then for everyone, of all people, sadhya, at once, vidinoti kalmasam, the effects of sins become purified. Let me glorify and worship Krishna. He's so wonderful. He's so subhadra. He's so auspicious. And a very nice commentary by Vishvanath, by Jiva Goswami. He says this yat. You see in the verse it says, yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam. It says yat several times, and it's used in the singular number, which indicates that on just one occasion, if you remember, chant, worship, or remember Krishna, on just one occasion, in the proper way, then you can become free from sin. And Sridhar Swami says, therefore, this in the next verse state that the superiority of this faithful devotion over all kinds of other processes. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is saluting and worshiping Krishna in this way. Purport, the sublime form of religious performance to free oneself from all reaction of sin is suggested herein by the greatest authority. So he invokes this specially hearing. Because all these processes have to do with hearing. Kirtana, and glorify.
Vichakshanaya charanopasadanat Sangam yudasyo vayato taratmana vidanti hi brahma gatim gata glamas tasmai subhadra shavase namo nama.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, the highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. Now Sukadeva Goswami goes on with his prayers. And here again, the same thing. Let me offer my respectful obeisances. Again, Tasmai Subhadra, unto Krishna, who's very, very auspicious. Nama, again and again, let me offer my, this is the mood, again and again and again, let me offer my obeisances. This is the process. This is the process of becoming enlightened. This is the process of speaking. Again and again, offering our obeisances and serving Krishna with our intelligence. It's not an intellectual process. But we have intelligence, and the intelligence is used in Krishna's service. And then Krishna reciprocates by giving us knowledge. So it's not, Prabhupada said, it's not an electric shock, but it's not an intellectual process. It's something in between. It's service of Krishna with the intelligence. So this is the process. And in this verse, offer to all, and the highly intellectual, vichakshana, charana, upasadana, simply by dedicating themselves unto the lotus feet, they're relieved of all attachments in this world, and therefore, without difficulty, progress in spiritual life. We saw in the previous chapter, when it described that indirect process of self-realization, or how you advance in meditation, you progress as you become more and more detached from this world. Almost like you're going up and you're letting go further and further weights and burdens, and you ascend. So this happens by surrendering to Krishna, as Sukadeva Goswami is doing. And then without difficulty, you can progress towards the spiritual existence, the Brahma Gati, the goal. The goal, the spiritual goal. Our goal is Brahma. Brahma means spiritual existence. Gati. That's our path, or that's our goal. That's our path. Like Dan Gati in Vrindavan. The narrow part in Govardhan. The Gati, the path. That's our path. Now in this verse, Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that I will disclose the most secret of my instructions because you're my devotee. And because you're surrendered to me, I will deliver you from all sin. Do not worry, just surrender exclusively to me. So this is the process. And Prabhupada discusses that. One who surrenders fully unto the Lord to render service to him out of spontaneous love for him factually assimilates the essence of all knowledge described in the Vedas. So this is the process of Sukadeva Goswami and answering the questions of Maharaj Brihad. He's surrendering. How's he surrendering? By kirtana. By chanting. By chanting Krishna's glories, he's surrendering. Now, Jiva Goswami, I'm so fortunate in Prabhupada's purports, he's reading all the commentaries. Jiva Goswami says that this Brahma Gatim is our spiritual form in the spiritual world. And we saw how difficult this path was when we saw in the second chapter, The Lord in the Heart, the Karma Mishra Bhakta, Yoga Mishra Bhakta ascending to the spiritual world, and how difficult that path was. And here it says that this Brahma Gati, which is our spiritual form, is easily attained by this process of devotional service as mentioned in the previous verse. What was mentioned in the previous verse? Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam, yat shravanam, yat ahanam. Lokasya sadyo vidanoti kalmasam. Sadyo. Sadyo means immediately, quickly. Vidanoti, clean. Kalmasham, the heart, is immediately clean. And we quoted from Jiva Goswami that this word yat, yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, is in the singular. Which means even by once doing it in the proper way, one could actually become pure. So therefore, the word in this verse used is
And Prabhupada highlights this is gata klamaha, without difficulty. And this is what Sukadeva Goswami is hoping for, that this inconceivable process of creation can be understood. And this is his hope. His hope is by using his intelligence to surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Not using his intelligence to independently try to understand the absolute truth, but using it to surrender to Krishna. And then Prabhupada gives a very potent reference here to explain this about the prayers that Lord Brahma offered to Krishna. And the prayer basically stated, it gave the example of a handful of real paddy is more valuable than heaps of paddy skins without any substance. So you can beat the paddy skins, but you won't get anything from it. It'll just bang and bang and bang and bang. It's so difficult. So that's like the other processes of self-realization, like jnana karma and karma kanda, jnana karma and mystic yoga. There's so much work. And from all that work, you get hardly anything. But bhakti is yat kirtanam, yat smaranam. You know, simply if you chant sincerely, then you get the real thing. You get the essence very, very carefully. So therefore Prabhupada says that this word gata klama means that bhakti yoga is the highest quality of perfection to be achieved by the intelligent person in lieu of performing a large quantity of spiritual activities. I think, James, you're experiencing this, how blissful it is, this process, how simple.
I'm still going on.
What?
There is something special here in the dance.
Your 8-hour torture periods. It's like beating the husk. Nothing. But working and beating and torturing. Then the zazen, the guy hitting you with the stick to make sure you're sitting straight. And this process is just like so blissful. Just so blissful. Chanting, hearing, worshiping. This is the point that's here.
Tapasvino dana para yashasvino manasvino mantra vida sumangala shemam nama danti vinayarpinam tasmai subhadra shavase namo nama.
So beautiful.
Tasmai subhadra shavase namo nama.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna again and again, because the great learned sages, the great performers of charity, the great workers of distinction, the great philosophers and mystics, the great chanters of the Vedic hymns, and the great followers of Vedic principles cannot achieve any fruitful result without dedication of such great qualities to the service of the Lord. So here, he's explaining so many different activities that one could perform, tapa, charity, etc. But they're only successful when there's yat arpanam, when that process is dedicated unto Krishna, then there is success. Advancement of learning, a charitable disposition, political, social, or religious leadership of human society, philosophical speculation, the practice of the yoga system, expertise in Vedic rit, and all similar high qualities in man serve one in the attainment of perfection only when they are employed in the service of the Lord. Dharma, Dharma Svanushti Tam Pumsa, Vivek Sena Katasya. So pariye yadi ritim shrama evahi kevalo. Same concept. Shrama evahi kevalo. Only useless. If your dharma does not help to uncover your eternal nature as Krishna's servant, it's useless. And therefore, if it doesn't lead to attraction for Krishna, dharma sunishtita pumsa viviksena katasuya, no padiye yadi ritim, it doesn't give you some rati for dharma sunishtita pumsa viviksena katasuya, for kata about Krishna, the Supreme Lord. What you're doing doesn't give you attraction for kata, for the Supreme Lord. It has no value. It has no value. Because that's the purpose of the whole purpose of Vedic system, the whole purpose of the material world. Krishna's created this. Everything is connected with the theme or purpose of uncovering our eternal nature as Krishna's servant. It has no value. So same thing. Just see what substance Krishna has, how great Krishna is. That everything within the world that has any value is for the purpose of bringing us closer to God. Without such dovetailing, all such qualities become a source of trouble for people in general. So everything should be dedicated. And Prabhupada said real dedication is dedication to the Supreme Lord. Because even dedication to other things, family, society, is just, Prabhupada calls it its extended selfishness. What is it? No, extended selfishness. In other words, what family means basically is that one extends the concept of the self to family, because the body is also a mental conception. You can just extend the conception of self to the family. And then you work for the family, and you think you're altruistic, but no, it's selfish, because you've just extended the concept of the self. You extend the concept of the self to the nation. It's still a mental conception. So this real selflessness is actually this dedication. The purpose of maintaining the human body is different from that of the animals. Similarly, advancement of learning, economic development, philosophical research, study in the Vedic literatures, or even the execution of pious activities should be done in relation with the pleasure of the Lord. And Prabhupada quotes the verse, some sit here, hari toshanam. Atapumbir, dvija vitsreshta, vinashramam vibhagasa, sunishti karma dharma. Some sit here, hari toshanam. Remember why that verse was quoted? Some sit here, hari toshanam? Because, Sutta Goswami explained that the purpose of life is to realize tattva, or the truth. How is tattva realized? Tat shadayana munayo, jnana vairagya yuktaya, pashantyatmani chat, bhakta shruta grihitaya. The tattva is realized by bhakti. Therefore, the purpose of vanashram and all our activities is bhakti. Some sit here, hari toshanam, is that Krishna is pleased by those activities. That's the purpose of all activities, is that Krishna is pleased. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita 9:27 is also quoted. Yat karoshi rasnasi, whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. Even if it's part of your material nature, that's fine. We act in that way, whatever we're doing, because we're doing it anyway, because that's our nature. We're married because we're nature. We're doing different services because it's our nature. No problem. But dedicated, yet arpanam, dedicated to Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami is just in so many ways bringing out the wonderful position of Krishna, who's Subhadra, who's auspicious, and who can benedict him with the power to actually answer these questions. The expert leaders of a godless civilization cannot bring back a fruit of result in all their different attempts at educational advancement unless they become God-conscious. And to become God-conscious, one has to hear about the all-auspicious Lord, as he is described in literature like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So you have to hear about Subhadra, the all-auspicious Lord, to make your activities fruitful. Kirata hunandra pulinda pukasa ambira shumbaya vanakashadaya
Yenye cha papa yadapastrayastraya shudhyanti tasme prabha vishnave namaha.
Kirata Huna Andhra Pulinda Pulkasa Ambira Shumba Yabana, members of the Kasha race, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Due to his being the supreme power, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. How powerful is Krishna? That if you take shelter of his devotees, then you can become purified from your karma, from your parabdha karma, from your manifest karma, if you take shelter of the devotees. Why? Because prabha vishnave, because of Krishna being so powerful, being prabha vishnu, having supreme power, because Krishna has supreme power, that those who are exclusively dedicated to him, if you take shelter of them, you can become purified. Even if your karata hunanda, the huna is East Germany and Russia. The Huns, Attila the Hun. Andhra, Pulinda the Greeks. Ambira, part of Sindh. Yavana the Turks. Kasha, the Mongolians. All these people can become purified. I just tell one quick Ridayananda Maharaj joke. I went to his house once, and it was like in Alachua. When I got in there, he said, "Oh, I'm so excited, I'm so excited." He said, I'm studying the MVP. The MVP means most valuable player. I thought, what is he doing? Like studying like Sports Illustrated? He's like, "I'm studying the MVP, the MVP." I said, "What are you talking about, Marge?" He said, "The MVP, the MVP." He said, "Aristotle." I said, "What?" He said, "Aristotle," because he was studying he's writing the philosophy. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "The most valuable Pulinda." The most valuable Pulinda. So Prabhupada in the purport here also, he discusses that by taking shelter, we should take shelter of the devotees. And he described Christ, Muhammad, how many people are purified by taking shelter of the devotees, even though they're sinful. And therefore, Prabhupada describes that the modern politicians should take shelter of the devotees. That we don't want to take their positions. But if they take shelter of the devotees, then the society can be changed. And that's actually the purpose of ISKCON. One time, I'm not sure if it was Tamal Krishnamurti, one day he said, "Prabhupada, you know, you should like be the king of the world or something." And Prabhupada said, "No, that's okay." He said, "You manage, I'll advise." The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided. If the politicians are guided by good counsel, there'll be a great change in the world by the purifying propaganda of the devotees. And of course, in relationship to this verse, I'm seeing also in the Bhagavatam, as I'm studying this word-for-word type system now a bit more, that I'm seeing is you got the general themes that are the general message that is being spoken at the time and how the verses are connected to this general message. For example, this verse is connected to this general message of that you can become empowered by Krishna if you surrender to him and you surrender to his devotee, which is what Sukadeva Goswami wants. He wants empowerment to answer Maharaj Brigid's question of the process of creation. Therefore, he's glorifying Krishna. So the verse is connected to that general theme of glorifying Krishna, serve Krishna. He'll reciprocate. He'll empower. Then you can speak. Then you can glorify. Then you can describe Krishna. Then you can describe his inconceivable potency. But I'm seeing also, and this is what the Sandarbhas does, there's also different tattvas or truths which individual verses may explain independent of the section they're in. So this verse is very much connected with the Abhideya Tattva, the truth about practicing devotional service, that it has a universal applicability. It's applicable to all people, regardless of their position. And this is one of the main subjects of the Bhagavatam. In the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam, which is in the 9th chapter, Brahma, Krishna spoke to Brahma 4 verses. The first two was Sambandhagyan, the third was Prayojanagyan. The fourth was Abhideya, how to practice to achieve the goal of love of Godhead. So it said one should search for this. Search for this, which is love of Godhead, which was described in the previous verse. One should search for this. And it said, sarvatra, sarvada, everywhere and anywhere. And Prabhupada analyzed those words, everywhere and anywhere, is that it has a universal applicability, because there's no material qualification. Because it's a relationship that you have by your constitution, you just have to engage in it. There's no qualification to engage in a relationship that you already have. I gave the example of the mother and child. If that's their relationship, then what is the qualification for the mother to serve her child? She doesn't have to be rich, doesn't have to be famous, doesn't have to be learned. She just has to be sincere. The bhakti means sincerity. So Prabhupada also in the purport discusses the universal applicability. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can under any circumstance accept anyone from any part of the world, even personally or through his bona fide manifestation as a spiritual master. So this is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. So esha atmat mabhatam madishvaras trai mayo dharma mayastapo maya kati vilikar aja shankara divir vitarkya lingo bhagavan prasidatam. He is the super soul and the supreme lord of all self-realized souls. He is the personification of the Vedas, of religious scriptures and austerity. He is worshipped by, he is the personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures and austerity. He is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Being so revered with awe and reveration, may that Lord be pleased with me. So, this is the process now. Now it's changed to Prasidatan, Bhagavan Prasidatan. Let him be kind to me. Let him be pleased with me. Because this is our process. This is our process of advancement. It's the kindness or mercy of Krishna. This is how Sukadeva Goswami can be empowered to answer the questions. Be kind. So he's glorifying Krishna in a very nice way. He's remembering that Krishna is the Adishvara, the Supreme Lord of Atmavatam, of all self-realized souls, of what people are performing austerities, of the Vedas, religious scriptures, all processes of self-realization, he's the Adishvara. He's the Supreme Lord. Atmananam, Atmatmavatam, Adishvara. Of all types of spiritual paths. Maya, the essence of, he is the essence of the Vedas. He is the essence of religious scriptures. He is the essence of austerities. Vedaischa sarveham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Of all the Vedas I am to be known. So this is the position of Krishna. He is the Atma, he is the super soul, he is the personification of all paths, but he is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. He's worshipped by who? Devotees. Now this is the word that Prabhupada discusses in the purport, and he discusses for 3 or 4 purports. Gata Vyalikai, by those who are above pretensions. Buddha's pretensions, that you're doing one thing, you're doing something, but you have another motive. So bhakti means the path without pretensions. You're serving Krishna and your goal is Krishna's pleasure. But if you're performing austerities and all kinds of religious activities, the pretension is that they're so-called dharma, and dharma means activities to uncover your eternal nature. But if you're doing them to promote yourself in the material world, that's pretentious. That's cheating. And therefore, Jiva Goswami makes the brilliant interpretation of the word gata velikai, those above pretension, that it means projita kaitava. And what is projita kaitava is that it kicks out fruitive intention, material consciousness. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, and I work for me. So Krishna is worshipped by Brahma, Shiva, and these examples are specifically cited, Prabhupada said, because they're the heads of, they're the leaders of the desireless Vaishnav Sampradayas. They are free from pretension. They're worshipped by our Pradhan Acharyas, our Sampradaya Acharyas, by the Acharyas. They're just, the devotees are Gata Velikai. They're above pretension because they worship the Lord. They want only His pleasures. Others worship, but in fact they are asking for something of themselves. So this is discussed. And the Supreme Lord is perfectly realized by the devotees because they are above pretension. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing this thing. This thing. He is realized by pretentious devotees. So here, Sukadeva Goswami, therefore, is giving stress in this verse to devotional service. And this is his hope, that by worshipping sincerely, worshipping for the pleasure of Krishna, not to get something out of him, he's praying, let me be like this, because if I'm like this, then I can realize him. And that's what Maharaj Prickett is obviously asking me. What is Krishna like? How does he do things? What is his nature? So if I'm to answer it, I have to be like this without pretension to Krishna, who is the real goal of all this religious activity. Sri Shriyapatir Yagipati Prajapatir Diyampatir Lokapatir Dharapati Patir Gatis Chandaka Vrishni Satvatam Prasidatame Bhagavan Satampati. I think we're going to enter into this Bhagavan Prasidatam. He has different types of ecstasies. One ecstasy was his Tasmai Tasmai Subhadra Shavasei Namo Nama. Now he's saying, Bhagavan Prasidatam, be pleased with me, be pleased with me. In other words, let me perform bhakti. What is bhakti? Bhakti are activities for the pleasure of Krishna. So let me perform bhakti. Let me do something for your pleasure. And of course, you can only do something for Krishna's pleasure if you want to please him, because what really pleases Krishna is your attitude and your bhakti. So he's praying like that. And again, he's remembering the Lord and remembering Krishna's position as the pati, the owner, the director, the leader, the master, the proprietor, the supreme, the head. Krishna is pati. He's Shriyapati. He's the owner of all opulence. He is the pati, the husband of the goddess of fortune. That's Krishna's position. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. And he's the Yajnapati. He's the beneficiary of all sacrifice. And he's the Prajapati. He is the
father of all living entities, the leader of all living entities. He is the Dhyampati. He is the master of intelligence. Krishna is giving the intelligence to everyone. Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chahamiti Sani Vishto, Vatasmatir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. From me comes intelligence. Please, give me the intelligence. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Let me please him. And by pleasing him, maybe I can be empowered. Maybe I can be empowered. He's the guide of the devotee, and as such, Sukadeva Goswami is offered him due respects with love-laden feelings.
Yarangriyabhi janasamari dottaya dhyanupasyanti hi tatvamatmana padanti chaitat kavayo yata rucham same makundo bhagavan pasiritam.
It is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who gives liberation. By thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Supreme Lord be pleased with me. So these now in the next verses that are stated are very relevant, because what Sudhir Goswami now is praying for, he's now directly going to pray for empowerment. Directly. Which is the purpose of his prayers, basically. So the pure devotee thinks of himself. So Prabhupada in the purport discusses this, that by thinking of his, this is the process, by thinking of his lotus feet at every second, that's, Yarangri, Abhidhyana, thinking at every second of those lotus feet, samadhi, in trance. The devotee's in trance. Anupashyanti, by following the authorities of the parampara. This is the process. By thinking of Krishna, anupashyanti, under the authorities, then the devotees can see tattvam, atmanam. They can see the tattva. In truth. And this is what Sukadeva Goswami needs. He has to explain the tattva. He's going to have to see the tattva. And what is the process? This is the process. Thinking of the lotus feet. And lotus feet means very, very humble. Just like one of the anubhavs of a servant, I think, of servitude, is like looking at the floor. You know, like the servant is looks at the floor. That's his bhakti, very humble. So Prabhupada discusses this, the devotee's mood, his mood, how he always thinks. So there's a very beautiful prayer from King Kulashekar. Krishna tvadiya parapankaja panch, Krishna tvadiya parapankaja pancharantam, adyeva me vishatumana saraja hamsa. Prana priyana samaye kappa vatta pittai kanto varodhana vidho smaranam katoste. My Lord Krishna, dear Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of the lotus of your lotus feet of your lordship and be locked in their network work. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? So Prabhupada describes in this and other places, there's an intimate connection with the devotee's mind and the lotus feet of Krishna, just as there's an intimate connection with a swan and the lotus stem. And I always give the, like, this is the lotus stem and this is the swan. It's like an intimate connection. So this is describes trance. This is how you know Krishna. You entered such a relationship by your humility and your service. And that type of relationship by mental speculation, and the word here that's used is yata rucham. Rucham, as you think. the kavayo yata ruchem, the learned philosopher, they just think. They speculate. And by their speculation, they're very distant. They cannot even dream of the absolute truth by speculating it for eternity. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to mental speculators because they cannot enter into the network stem of the lotus feet of the Lord. All mental speculators, different conclusions. And in the end, they make a useless compromise by saying, as many conclusion, as many ways, according to one's own inclination, yata rucham. But the Lord is not like a shopkeeper trying to please all sorts of customers in the mental speculator exchange. The Lord is what he is, the absolute truth, personality of God, and he demands absolute surrender to him only. The pure devotees, however, by following the ways of previous acharyas or authorities, can see the Supreme Lord through the transparent medium of the bona fide spiritual master, Anupashyanti. The devotee doesn't speculate. He follows in the footsteps of the acharyas. And then Prabhupada said, when you do this, there's no difference in conclusion. And then Prabhupada quotes 10:10 in the Bhagavad Gita, which I think is Tesham Satatiyakkanam Vajratam Pratipurvakam Dadami Buddhiyogam Tam. And the conclusion is, Sukadeva Goswami is not a mental speculator or compromiser of the theory of his many ways and many. Rather, he prays to the Lord only, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. This is the way. Anupashyanti. Following the authorities. Yet angri abhidhyana. Meditating. And therefore you enter into samadhi. Okay. Now these last four verses are he's praying for this direct empowerment. May the Lord, who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and his own self, and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. So let me be inspired as Lord Brahma was inspired. Prachodita, inspired. Saraswati, by the goddess of learning. Let me be inspired. Satim smritam, riddhi. By the potent memory, riddhi, in the heart. By who? Rishinam Rishab, by the chief of the teachers, which is Krishna. So let me be inspired in the heart by the chief of the teachers. Let me have my knowledge awakened within the heart. The awakening of knowledge is neither an automatic nor a material interaction. So this is not mundane. Let Krishna, who's Narayana Parovyaktat, who's existing before the creation and therefore knows the creation, let him inspire me. This is the way to get knowledge, by this inspiration. The original spiritual master is Krishna. He's the Rishinim Rishab, the original guru. Sukadeva Goswami is praying for the Lord by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord so that he can rightly explain the facts and figures of creation as inquired by Maharaj Prigat. Directly Prabhupada stating what these verses are about. May the Supreme Lord, personality of God, who enlivens the material created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in his Purusha incarnation causes the living being to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator, be pleased to decorate my statement. Let the Supreme Lord, who does the process of creation, let him decorate my statements. The beautiful arrangement behind all material manifestations is therefore made possible by the energy of the Lord, and the individual living entity can only pray to the Lord to understand it properly. Sukadev prays for the mercy of the Lord, not only for being helped personally in presenting the truth, but also helping others to whom he would like to speak. As a fully dependent devotee, Sukadeva Goswami, unlike a mundane man who is proud of his own capability, invokes the pleasure of the personality of Godhead so that his statements may be successful and be appreciated by the hearers. Sukadeva Goswami wants to move by the direction of the Supreme Lord who inspired Brahma to speak the Vedic wisdom. Such Vedic knowledge and religion is disseminated by authorities like Sukadeva because he's a humble servitor of the Lord, who has no desire to become a self-appointed interpreter without authority. 24. I offer my respectful obeisance unto Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Vasudeva, who compiled the Vedic literature. The pure devotees drink up the nectarian transcendental knowledge dropping from the lotus-like mouth of the Lord. So now what he does, he comes and he prays to him. This is his guru. He approaches his guru, who is Mahamuni, who is also Krishna. That the nectar will drop. And a very interesting comment, which I think we'll discuss tomorrow, what Vishwanath says, what this nectar is, it's the nectar from the mouth of Lord Krishna. What it is, it's transferred to his different consorts, and thus they learn the finer arts of music, dance, dressing, and all things which are relished by the Lord. It's actually the nectar coming from the mouth of Krishna. That's the process of transcendental knowledge. The nectar from the mouth of Krishna empowers the gopis. My dear king, Brahma, the firstborn, on being questioned by Narada, exactly apprised him on this subject, as it was directly spoken by the Lord to his own son, who is impregnated by Vedic knowledge from his very birth. So now what he's going to explain, I'm going to explain to you now the process of creation. How am I going to explain it? The same thing was explained by Brahma to Narada. And this is our process of transcendental knowledge. If you ask me a question, am I going to answer it independently? I'm going to say that Prabhupada said to such and such, or Bhaktisiddhanta said to Prabhupada, or Narada said to Vyas, or Brahma said to Narada. So he says, now I'm going to answer the question. So what he does, we'll go into another dialogue in the Bhagavatam, which is a discussion between Narada and Brahma. So you have Sutta explaining to Shonaka what Sukha told to Parikit, which what Narada, we'll get into this Narada, Brahma enlightening Narada about the process of creation. Sukadeva therefore prayed for the mercy of the Lord so he might be able to repeat the very same message that was spoken directly by the Lord to Brahma, or was directly spoken by Brahma to Narada. Therefore, the statements of creation explained by Sukadeva are not at all, as the mundanist suggests, theoretical, but are perfectly correct. One who hears these messages and tries to assimilate them gets perfect information on the material creation. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second canto, fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Process of Creation. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.